Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Oh, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee. In thine arms I rest me, foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Satan, I defy thee, death I now decry thee, fear I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour, earth and all its depths adore him, silent bow before him. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure, Jesus is my choice. Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice. Pain or loss or shame or cross shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me. Evil world, I leave thee, thou canst not deceive me, thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me, come not forth again. Pass thy hour, O pride and power, sinful life thy bonds I sever, leave thee now forever. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord was my support in the day of my calamity. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord was my support in the day of my calamity. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has already set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest point in the city, "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here." To someone who lacks sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Abandon your naive ways and live. Travel the road to understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults, and whoever warns a wicked person invites abuse. Do not warn a mocker, or he will hate you. Warn a wise person, and he will love you. Give advice to a wise person, and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous person, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This is the word of the Lord. In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have crossed over from death to life because we love our brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also should lay down our lives for our brothers. Whoever has worldly wealth and sees his brother in need but closes his heart against him, how can God's love remain in him? Dear children, let us love not only with word or with our tongue, but also in action and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those at the table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus said to him, "A certain man had a great banquet and invited many people. When it was time for the banquet, he sent out his servant to tell those who were invited, 'Come, because everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one told him, 'I bought a field and I need to go and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Still another said, 'I just got married, and so I'm unable to attend.' The servant arrived and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' The servant said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and urge them to come in, so that my house may be filled. Yes, I tell you that none of those men who were invited will taste my banquet.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
A multitude comes from the east and the west to sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed, obeying the Lord's invitation. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. O God, let us hear when our shepherd shall call in accents persuasive and tender, that while there is time we make haste one and all and find him our mighty defender. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. All trials shall be like a dream that is past, forgotten all trouble and mourning. All questions and doubts have been answered at last when rises the light of that morning. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. The heavens shall ring with an anthem more grand than ever on earth was recorded. The blessed of the Lord shall receive at his hand the crown to the victors awarded. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John says at the beginning of our reading, "Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you." Let's first understand who he's talking about. There are two groups of people here, brothers and the world. When John says brothers, he's referring to Christians. He's not excluding women when he says brothers, as it might seem. He uses the word brothers because all Christians receive the adoption of sonship when they are baptized into the Lord Jesus. Baptism is a union with Jesus whereby all Christians, male and female, receive Jesus' status before God. He is the Son of God. The only way that a person can be called a child of God is by being born again with water and the word of baptism. All Christians are one in Christ, God's Son. Therefore, when John says brothers, he's not excluding women or girls. He's referring to all those who are baptized into Christ and through their relationship with Christ have become children of God. The other group of people that the Apostle John refers to is the world. This word has a special meaning in Scripture that isn't exactly the same as how the word might be used by someone who's unfamiliar with the Scriptures. What is meant by the world are all those people who remain in their original sin, who are not converted, and who therefore retain all the traits that come naturally to us all according to our sinful flesh. Those traits would be selfishness, fear, suspicion, cynicism, lying, sneaking, and so on. Christians, as well as unbelievers, have to contend with these traits because all people are born in sin. However, in those who believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit does not let these traits of the flesh go on unhindered. The Holy Spirit fights against these evil natural impulses, and he also draws us to the opposite of these traits, such as faith, hope, love, honesty, kindness, and so on. Those who do not have the Holy Spirit, those who do not believe, are left to themselves with their sinful flesh. These are the people whom John refers to as being the world. So another way that you could say what John says here is, do not be surprised, Christians, when those who are unconverted hate you. Here we have something to chew on. Whenever something strikes us as strange in the scriptures, we do well to stop and consider it. What John says here is something that our modern church culture does not understand. Those who are unconverted will hate those who are converted. The world will hate us if we are indeed converted, if we are indeed Jesus' brothers. The standard operating procedure for practically all Christian churches for a very long time among us has been that we want to make it impossible for anyone to hate us. We want everybody in the community to say that we're the best church in town and that only a fool would say anything bad about us. How different this is from the way that Jesus' closest disciple, John, speaks. It's as though he wants to comfort us when we have our troubles by saying that we shouldn't be surprised. This is just how it goes. The world hates Christians. Since the common understanding among us is so different from what John says, we have a lot to learn here. And I'd like to start to get at it by trying to answer two questions with the sermon today. First, why does the world hate us Christians? And second, what should we Christians do about it? For answering the question of why the world hates us Christians, it's helpful to hear what John says just before our reading today. Our reading began with verse 11. Our reading began with verse 13. Here's what verse 11 and following say. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. Love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own works were evil, while those of his brother were righteous. And then we have the verse that we're especially considering today. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. So what John is saying is that we Christians are in a similar situation as Abel found himself in with his brother Cain. Let's briefly review this story from Genesis chapter 4. Cain was Adam and Eve's firstborn son. Abel was their secondborn son. When these two brothers offered sacrifice to God, Abel's sacrifice was found to be more acceptable in God's sight, while Cain's was not. And this made Cain angry. Cain was warned that he should control his anger, but he didn't. One day, he went out to the field with his brother and killed him. The first human being born on this earth in the natural way ended up being a murderer. This tells us something about our human nature. So what can we learn from this about why the world hates us Christians? John tells us. He says that Cain's works were evil, while his brother's, Abel's works, were righteous. Cain couldn't stand the sight of his brother Abel because whenever he looked at his brother, he saw his own judgment and condemnation because he didn't measure up. Now, it might seem that Cain was angry just at his brother for the way that his brother was, but that's not true. Cain is angry with God and the judgment that God had rendered upon him with his word. We can see this if we do a thought experiment here. Suppose that everything happened just the way that Moses tells us it happened, but with this one change. Suppose that Abel took the side of his brother Cain. Suppose that even though Abel's sacrifice was better than his brother's, that Abel said to God, "No, you can't do that. You can't say that about my brother. I'm going to stick with him. The way that Cain has been living is just fine. And who are you, God, to judge? If Abel had joined his brother, Cain, in his rebellion against God, in his hatred against God, then Abel and Cain would have been friends. They would have been on the same side. So Cain's anger is not so much against Abel as it is against God. It is only because Abel doesn't abandon God and side with Cain that makes Cain see Abel as the enemy. Cain hates Abel because Abel remains faithful to God's word rather than being faithful to his brother. Here we can see the answer for why the world hates Christians. The world hates Christians because Christians do not take their side. If Christians told everybody that everything that they were doing was just swell and that they should keep it up, then how could the world hate such people? It is when Christians remain faithful to God's judgments against wickedness that those who do wickedness get upset. So the reason why the world hates Christians is not just because they don't like the person, it's because they don't like the God who is shining forth in that person. Now that we know why the world hates Christians, let's consider our second question: what should we do about it? One option has already been laid out. We could switch sides. Any Christian who abandons God's judgments that others find offensive will quickly find that they will be seen as kind and welcoming by those who do not believe. But if we do this, then we will no longer be Christians. We'll actually be God's enemies, raging against his judgments like Cain did. While this seems like it should be an unacceptable option that no Christian would actually go for, that isn't the case. The history of God's people, as it's recorded in the Bible, shows that they are always sorely tempted to abandon God and side with the world. And this makes sense from a certain perspective. Think of Abel. Abel would have had a much better quality of life if he had given up on God's judgments. His quality of life would have been much better because Cain wouldn't have killed him. That's how it always is for God's people. If you pretend that you know nothing of God's word, that you know nothing of God's commandments, and that whatever your friends and family decide to do is A-okay with you, then you'll have a better quality of life. At least during this earthly life. But if you correct a mocker or warn a wicked person, as it says in our Old Testament reading from Proverbs, then watch out. You'll be inviting insults, abuse, and hatred upon yourself. But this course of action is not without cost either. In fact, the cost couldn't be steeper. When Christians do this, when they side with the world, instead of remaining faithful to God, then they're abandoning the battlefield against the devil. They're essentially quitting. Nobody can be saved when God's word is brought to nothing, when it's silenced or reinterpreted or ignored or whatever else. The way that sinners are saved is by repenting of their wickedness. That is to say, by fearing God's judgment, and yet draw near to him because of the promise of forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Being saved by repenting for sin and believing in God's mercy is the way that the whole Bible speaks about being God's people. This is the only way that anybody will be saved until the end of the world. So if we just quit, if we won't stand by God's judgments that condemn ourselves as well as everybody else, then there is no hope of salvation. The gospel will have been taken away entirely. Instead of churches preaching God's word, they will become mutual appreciation societies where everybody slaps each other on the back and say what jolly good fellows they all are. This is the opposite of preaching Christ and Him crucified. This is the devil dressing himself up as an angel of light. Therefore, we have to remain faithful to God's judgments, which do good by bringing sinners into sorrow and repentance. This necessarily means that the world will hate us, as the Apostle John says, for repentance does not come naturally to us, but not all of the world will hate us, for some of them will be converted. There is no such thing as a Christian who resents a sharp word that was spoken to him or her that exposed his or her sin. All Christians are glad whenever they think back on that person who cared enough about them to say what was difficult to say and to do what was difficult to do. Solomon also comments on this in our Old Testament reading. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, that is, of Jesus, is understanding. The one who is wise receives rebuke and instruction and becomes wiser still. It is needful for us to keep this in mind, for we are not yet dead. And it may be that God sends a wise reprover into our life. And we must not fly off the handle or go off in a huff when that happens. Let it bring about fear of the Lord's judgment in you. Then it will do you good. Then you will look on our crucified Lord Jesus, not as someone that you can either take or leave, but as the one whom you need to save you from the hell where you belong to go, where you are supposed to go otherwise. Therefore, in reaction to the world's hatred against us Christians, we must continue to remain faithful to God and His Word. But how do we deal with these people who get so angry with us that they might even want to kill us? Here, too, we have to have our ears wide open. For the Bible does not speak as we might naturally think. Jesus has a lot to say about this. He says that when we are struck on one cheek, we are to turn so that they might strike the other as well. And whoever sues us for our cloak, we're to give them our garment as well. And do not curse those who persecute you, but bless those who persecute you. Do not resist evil, but overcome evil with good. We could continue to go on with these instructions to us Christians at some length, but we've already heard enough to get the idea. We are to love our enemies. Enemies, by definition, are the people who want to hurt us. Therefore, we are to love those who want to hurt us. We are even to be kind and generous to them, giving them the wealth that we've worked hard to collect for ourselves. This surely does not mean that we lie to them or alter God's word for them so that we take their side over and against God. That would not be kind at all. For how can they be saved except through the word of truth? But otherwise, we are to yield to them, even giving up our life for their sake, if it should come to that. The willingness to give up everything, even our own life, for our neighbor is not something unusual for us as Christians. This is simply a matter of following in the way of our Master. What Jesus did, we do too. You won't find that He lied to people. You won't find that He flattered people. And yet He gave, even giving up His life. Now, this is something that is impossible for flesh and blood. We can't work ourselves up to this, but the Holy Spirit can do that which is impossible for us. May God grant us His Holy Spirit toward this end. And may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by your grace, we who were once far off have been brought near to you by the blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remove from us all pride and vanity, and give to us humble hearts that recognize that you have graciously made us members of your household without any merit or worthiness in us. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, continue to raise up faithful servants among us, that the invitation to your great banquet would be delivered to all places, and your banquet hall would be filled with sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Father, bless the churches of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world with continued zeal for the truth of your word. Keep them steadfast in the faith and devoted to the proclamation of the pure gospel and the administration of the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, look upon the poor, hungry, homeless, and unemployed with compassion, and tend to their needs. Remove from us any excess love of earthly treasures, that we would be moved to give generously. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, bestow your blessing on the vocation of fatherhood, that fathers would love and provide for their children, and that children would respect and honor their fathers. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Father, have mercy on all who are suffering and desire your aid at the present time, especially Linda and Alex. According to your gracious will, heal their infirmities and give them strength to bear their cross with patience. Give continued wisdom to those who lead and those who serve, especially those in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. In the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house. O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly
good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light fill you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come. In the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood, keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful to your truth may we be found. Savior, when your love shall call us from our struggling pilgrim way, let not fear of death appall us, glad your summons to obey. May we ever reign with you in endless days.